Hello everyone, welcome to Dynamic Astrology's podcast. This episode is the BS free A to Z guide to well-being using the signs and a whole heap more. Episode one, we'll cover letters A to L. My name is Caroline. I am your host at your service. I'm the founder of Dynamic Astrology and author of The Signs and upcoming book, Your Stars. I'm also a coach and international super stalker. Aquarius, Capricorn, Moon, don't you know it?
Yes, I'm Natty P. My sun sign is Pisces, moon sign is Aries, my rising sign is Leo. I'm a producer, rapper, singer, DJ, one of them.
All of the above.
Self-proclaimed philosopher, yeah.
Yes.
That's it.
And I am Diana Dokmanovic. I'm a Sagittarius with rising Capricorn and moon in Scorpio. I work in the music and entertainment industry on the commercial side, and I also work with dynamic astrology also on the commercial business side.
Hi, I am Isaiah. I'm an Aries, moon in Cancer.
So there you go. So we're going to start off with the letter A, and we have a really special guest who's been very brave joining us today. She's a herbal specialist, and I'll actually hand you over to her now so she can talk about A, because A is for anxiety. And Kate, hi, thank you for joining us.
No problem at all. Lovely to be part of today.
Thank you. Would you just tell people what you do and who you are?
Yeah, of course. So I'm Katie Pandy, and I am a medical herbalist. I'm also a flower therapist. So I run a private clinic where I see patients for herbal medicine and batch flower remedies, but I also work for Pucker Herbs, who produce all the teas and the supplements. So I do a little bit of both, but I am sort of primarily a practitioner.
Yeah, I love Pucker. I've been using Pucker teas for, you know, the nighttime teas for years. I think they're absolutely amazing. But anyway, we have to talk about A. So A, we're talking about anxiety. And would you have any sort of special recommendations that sort of avoid pharmaceutical drugs or recreational drugs and work more with sort of herbs?
Absolutely. And interestingly, it also begins with an A, so that's good, isn't it? that worked out well, I didn't plan that. But no, there's a very well-known Ayurvedic herb, which is called ashwagandha. And it is used in some of the Pucker products, but it's also something I use an awful lot in my own personal practice with people. And one thing that people often really remember about it is that in Sanskrit, it translates to mean strength of a stallion. So that is, if you like, the essence of this herb really tries to imbue in. And it does this by calming the nervous system and balancing the stress response. So how it works is that it enables you to respond to stress in a way that your body can actually manage so that you don't become exhausted and anxious after a stressful event. And it's a habit that I use very frequently.
That's amazing. So how would you suggest people ingest it? I know that some people will be wondering if you can smoke it.
What are you looking at me for?
I'm just kidding, sorry, Kate.
I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty sure a lot of people do.
Really?
That's interesting.
What are you looking at me for?
I probably shouldn't be saying it, should I? But, you know, if you look at the sort of traditional uses of herbs, how we see them today is very much in a capsule or in a liquid form, where it's all been, you know, albeit very well processed, but processed. And traditional ways of taking the herb would have been in its powdered form or in its raw form. And there are lots of different ways of doing that. Traditionally in Ayurveda, so Indian herbal medicine, you take it with either a fat or an oil or honey, and that helps the absorption. But it is, I've got to admit, it doesn't taste great.
We were considering making cocktails.
I wouldn't go down that route. I would tell you that it also translates to me horse sweat. you definitely don't want to do that. So I would suggest that you look for it either in a capsule form or in a powder, if you don't mind the taste, and adding it to something like a coconut oil or a honey. And obviously, if you see a practitioner, if you went to go and see a herbalist, you could get that prescribed in a liquid form.
That's fantastic.
So there are a lot of options out there.
You know, I was looking at some figures, and I think about 2 years ago, 7.13 million people were prescribed antidepressants in the UK alone.
Yeah. It's
7.3 million, and 1.6 of those were the prescriptions written were new patients. And mm-hmm. I understand that, you know, there are, you know, reasons that people need them, but that's absolutely huge. Do you think that people could start using natural remedies to, you know, instead of or as complementary? What do you think about that, Kate?
So I don't know if you're aware of it, but there's a really interesting movement that's taking place at the moment, which is called social prescription.
Oh, we love movements. Carry on.
And it's essentially what it's doing is it's trying to empower healthcare professionals that are working within the NHS to take on board practitioners like myself, practitioners like acupuncturists, you know, mindfulness practitioners, all sorts of different health and wellbeing practitioners to support their practice, so that when they do get people in who actually are dealing with things like stress, anxiety, depression, and they want an alternative way of treating themselves, they have that option. And there are already a couple of clinics that are running in the UK under this social prescription movement.
That's brilliant. It's so good. This is the age of enlightenment.
Yeah.
Why do you think that that's happening now? Do you think it's because people have like more access to more information and they're finding out that maybe, you know, going to the doctor's not actually going to cure whatever mental health issue that they're suffering through?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. I think it's because people are a lot more aware that there are other alternatives out there now. Yeah. So I think that is part of it. And particularly in, kind of in the West Country, there is lots of cheese and cider, but there is also a lot of alternative practitioners. it's quite a big thing down here. But I think also, you know, a lot of the patients that I see they come to see me because they're more sort of fed up with just taking continual prescription medication.
Right.
And they're concerned about what long-term is this doing to my health. There's got to be a natural alternative that is healthier for me. And that's the reason why most people come.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you so much, Kate. Can I just, I'm going to throw you a curveball. What do you think about ayahuasca?
It's not something I've done. Although there are plenty of people who have.
I've never done it either, but I was, someone was saying that, I mean, I would never, I just wouldn't do it because I'm such a control freak. I don't want to lose my mind and wouldn't actually be that difficult. But I've heard a lot of people, you know, go on these, you know, go to the Amazon, and take sort of ayahuasca. Apparently it's not something, obviously, you should do lightly, but it's you know, it helps in terms of you know, major transformations. I mean, I'm not sure because I've never done it.
No, I kind of feel like just like there's no, I don't really feel, I don't believe in like major transformations. I feel like there's no way that you can magically just do one thing and then your brain will be completely rewired. I always feel like it's progress, it's steps in it, and I feel like there's not a quick fix. But I don't know, maybe it can open up certain people's mind states, you know.
I think what I would probably say with something like that, and this would go for any sort of, if you want to call it alternative treatment or complementary, you know, is to go by recommendation. So speak to people that you trust. So if you have a friend that you know who's done it and you trust them and you trust their judgment, then speak to them about it and, you know, find out about it that way, because something like that in particular is such a personal experience, and the people I've chatted to who've done it, it's so intense that you really want to feel comfortable where you are and who you're with, and for some people it's had really amazing enlightening effects for them, and others, you know, they could take it or leave it.
I guess I'll let you both know how it goes. You know, are you going to take it?
Yeah.
What?
Really?
Is it?
Yeah.
When?
Okay, I shouldn't really say this. My mother might listen to this.
She won't.
Just
don't post it on Instagram.
Cut the spit out.
Yeah, I'll edit.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm gonna go and.
Oh
yeah.
That's mad.
Have you felt the calling?
I've been feeling the calling for a bit.
Okay, yeah. So
I definitely want to go there.
All right. Well, I'm not doing
good
it.
Good luck. Man.
Okay, so
I don't even know if I'd go there personally.
I'm not going there. No,
oh, I can't
me.
Wait.
Okay,
but
well,
you've got to follow your intuition as
exactly.
well, haven't you? Like,
you've got to be called. I think if
yeah.
you, because they say with ayahuasca, you have to feel that calling, and I don't feel that calling. But stay tuned for the next podcast. Let's
sure.
see. We might have to go and rescue her from
I seen some stuff, guys.
From the Amazon.
I'm not coming back.
All right. So look, check it out. So thank you so much for that.
No problem.
Now let's talk about C. C is basically about care and staying calm. And I just wondered, do you have any sort of tips on how people can take care of themselves and stay? Because I believe that in order to take care of yourself, you have to have a certain level of calm in your life. Now,
mm-hmm.
do you think? Now, obviously, you know, people, you know, would take things like, you know, Valiums and beta blockers. And I had a friend of mine
Zens.
Who, yeah, yeah, but and also they're really addictive. So, do you have any sort of herbal, something that's suitable to help calm people if they have sort of bad nerves?
So I'd probably say this is where something like the flower remedies come in really useful, because they're the sort of thing that you can basically put in your back pocket or your handbag and whip out if you feel the need. You know, I've used it with patients who sort of will occasionally just sort of be overcome with high levels of anxiety, or they'll have a panic attack if they're in a social situation. And the fact that they don't know when it's going to happen stresses them out even more, because and then they get afraid to kind of go out and do the things that they would normally do.
Yes, debilitating.
So yeah, you know, that's how I use the flower remedies, and they work by there is the 38 of them, and there's one for a different emotion. So each one supports a different emotion. So if you're feeling panicked, there's one that supports that. If you've had a shock, so maybe you've just been in a car accident, there's one that supports that. If you're feeling really anxious, there's another that supports that. And you just take them in drop form, and you can add them to anything. I mean, you can add them to a glass of wine if you want.
You know? I sometimes do that with milk thistle. I throw it in
yeah.
some red wine.
I mean, it's excellent for a hangover as well. So you're doing a double whammy there, you know?
Edward, you know, I used to give flower rescue remedy to my son. He used to suffer with anxiety, so I used to pop it under his tongue. And I think that, you know, those are absolutely incredible. But also, I think sometimes the brain is so powerful that if you have this sort of, this remedy, it might be a placebo effect, it might not be, but at the end of the day, it's taking action and doing something.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think that it's a reassurance they provide as well. So it's knowing that you have something there just in case you need it.
Right.
And that in itself gives people a sense of calm and reassurance, because they know that they can do something about it. They know that they
yeah,
can
control.
Be
gives them
in
a sense
control.
Of control.
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing I was going to ask you about is CBD oil.
I was going to ask about that.
Were you? Okay, you go ahead, because I get enough out.
I mean, I was just going to ask what you thought about it, because, you know, you get a lot of people just saying that it's like the ultimate cure for anxiety and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just thought what you thought, to be honest with you.
There's very mixed thoughts about how it supports people. And the majority of people that I've spoken to that have used CBD have found it incredibly helpful. And as a plant, it has a huge number of medicinal benefits. And, you know, you can't deny that. It really can be incredibly supportive for the nervous system and very, very good for things like anxiety, stress, even pain, inflammation. It's also used in tumour reduction. You know, it has so many powerful
medicinal
properties.
Why is it not legal in this country? I do not understand. You know, in LA, it's You know, I mean, it's so much. They're so much more open, and I don't understand why it's still illegal here.
Because
the thing is that there's a kind of CBD oil that's legal over here, but then there's another kind that's not legal.
Yeah. So it's all to do with the different active compounds in the plant. So
THC.
CBD. Yeah. So the CBD is cannabidiol. That's the one that's not psychoactive, but it does have some of these wonderful medicinal benefits. So you can find versions of that in the UK quite easily.
They're expensive. The other thing is that a lot of people say that the CBD that does contain the THC is really good for beating the cells that cause cancer. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, as I said, you know, there's a lot of research actually into how CBD and THC can work to reduce tumour size. And the key is really getting the ratio of the two compounds correct. Because if you have too much of the THC, which is the compound that creates and causes this product to become illegal, it's the one that's a psychoactive compound. If you have too much of that, then you run the risk of, you know, heading into a slightly different reaction to the herb. So that's
the
where
lunatic
the
asylum, is that what you mean, Kate?
But do you know what? It can be so helpful for some people. It
Tell
can really help to just calm the mind and chill them out, you know?
Sure, make them a bit nicer, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where the barriers are. That's where the barriers are, is the arguments over how much THC is safe, how much should you have in a product, and... You know, my thought with any form of herbal medicine, whether it be legal or not, is that it's all about moderation. Mm. You know, there are herbs that are perfectly legal, you can find everywhere, but if you have too much of, they will disagree with you.
Yeah.
So you've just got to get the amount right. That's what it's all about, really.
Thank you. Thank you for that. That was really helpful. Okay, so let's talk about S. Let's talk about sleep. Now, I usually sleep like a baby. I don't know why that saying has come about, because as a mother, I can tell you that babies don't really sleep that much. I mean,
letting me know that. I'm due in 3 months' time.
Congratulations. We'll have to be doing the birth chart. So I think in terms of sleep, you know, there are things that you can do to help with sleep. For instance, most of the things that cause, you know, lack of sleep are, you know, sort of anxiety, stress, worry, and, you know, and also overstimulation. And I think the most important thing is that, I was saying this to someone the other day, I can't believe it's not, you know, common practice. We shouldn't be sleeping with things like televisions in our rooms, laptops in our rooms, phones in our rooms, any form of electricity. People, if you really you want to sleep, you should be sleeping in a cave. And the other thing thing, so it's almost like I would say to download your you know, whatever you can before you go to sleep, so you and keep your bedroom as a separate space unless you live in a studio, but there's all sorts of things you can do with that. So it's like your bedroom is for sleeping and, you know, for passion and making babies, right, Kate? But the other thing is that whenever sometimes I do feel a little bit sort of stressed, I've been drinking the Pukka Nighttime Tea for absolutely years, and it's got something like oatmeal and lavender in it, and literally, as soon as I drink that, within 10 minutes, I am KO'd.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's good stuff, actually, that I have to say. It does work very, very well, that blend.
Do you have any other tips on how people can sort of, you know, get a better night's sleep?
I mean, I think firstly, you've kind of hit it right on the nose in terms of technology. You know, that's definitely something to consider. A lot of people are just wired and connected all the time. So that is definitely something to keep in mind. And it's, I suppose, the term for it is known as sleep hygiene, which is to keep your sleeping area as clean and as clear as possible. And that means things like removing your laptop, your phone, and your your TV from your room and having it as that space where you associate it with sleep and relaxation and whatever else you might want to do in there.
That's so, amazing. That's so cool. Sleep hygiene, really I like important. That. That's really cool.
Yeah, there's quite a lot about it, sort of, you know, online, stuff about all these like sleep hygiene tips and things. It's quite an interesting topic, but herbally, there are a few things you can do, but probably the first thing to say is that there are lots of different causes of insomnia, and you kind of have to be, or try and nail down what you feel the cause is, because insomnia very rarely happens on its own without some form of trigger, whether that be a traumatic event, you're nervous about an interview, you know, you're anxious or you're panicked, so you've got to kind of figure out where it's coming from, and that will then help you to nail down how you're going to treat that, you know, what herbs are going to be the most helpful. But I would say that the one herb that always crops up that's sort of top of my list is valerian, is one of them. I mean, it smells awful. It smells like socks, but it doesn't taste like socks, not that I've eaten any, but
good to know. Well, that's a, I think you can get that in a tincture as well. Valerian it's really good. Yeah, I think I mean, I'm just on a little bit of a mission to try and promote sort of more natural ways of handling all the stresses that we face as a society. So thank you so much, Kate.
You know, very often with sleep, it mostly is to do with stress and anxiety. And herbs like ashwagandha, herbs like valerian, and to an extent actually herbs like lavender, how they work is that they affect some of the chemical messengers that create higher levels of anxiety and stress in the body. So things like GABA, for example, is one. And they make sure that you get more of your REM sleep, so that when you are asleep, you're getting more restful, deep sleep. That's how, for example, valerian works, and that's how ashwagandha can help with sleep as well. So they're really the key. It's looking at how you're going to actually get a restful, restorative night's sleep. It's not necessarily about how much sleep you get, it's about the quality of your sleep.
Absolutely. But I also think it's be a good person and don't do things during the day that are going to, you know, keep your conscience awake at night. So
Red Bulls before bed and that, not really the one.
No.
And I have to say also, I deleted all social media about 2 weeks ago from my phone. And I got into the habit of getting into my bed and then going on my phone and spending literally 2 hours on it before going to sleep, and also waking up and spending like an hour as I'm waking up, as opposed to doing more beneficial things such as exercising and meditating. But as soon as I did take it off my phone, I mean, at 10:30, if I'm in my bed, I go to sleep.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
It is incredible. It's the same thing. So, Kate. So, if people want to get hold of you and book a consultation, how can they reach you?
There's a few different ways, really. If you Google me, I will come up, so you'll find me online.
Dr. Google knows all.
He does. It's quite frightening.
DuckDuckGo doesn't track your search history and donates to the Amazon, I do believe.
But you can. So my website is organicherbalist.com.
Organicherbalist.com. Brilliant.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your time.
Can find me.
Thank you so much,
problem.
Kate.
It's a pleasure.
Good luck with the new baby, and hope to have you on here. And thank you for being very brave of entering into our arena. It's
not at all. It's been really lovely to be asked. It's great to chat to you all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye, Kate.
Cheers.
Bye. Well, we've skipped a few letters there now, so let's talk about B. I think one of the main things to enhance your well-being is a sense of balance in your life. And this is mental, spiritual, and physical. And there are so many different things that you can do. But in your life, if things are not balanced, then it creates imbalance, and unease can lead to dis-ease. So it's really important, not just for Librans to cultivate balance in their lives, but for everybody. Would you guys say you live a balanced life?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely started to, and I had to learn the hard way. Because, you know, when you don't live a balanced life, you know, aspects of your life really do start to suffer after a while.
100%.
And unless you address that and you rebalance it, you can potentially live a very miserable life.
For sure.
Yeah, or just the unbalancedness of it, innit, you know, like, it's difficult because if you've been through traumatic stuff in your life, balance isn't going to be something that comes natural to you. Like, things will be very imbalanced. And, like, being able to just, like, make your life balanced, it's like, it takes a lot of steps to get there.
It does take a lot of steps. But the other thing is that sitting down for long enough to actually look at your life and be... Do you see what I'm saying? Because, I mean... You know, everyone has their journeys, and, you know, if people have been through trauma, there are different ways to deal with it. And I'm certainly not a professional, but I do coach a lot of people. And obviously I have my own experiences. And I think that it's almost like a shopping list. So, you know, what do you do for your mind? Well, I meditate. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's like I meditate absolutely every day. If I didn't meditate, I don't know what would happen to me, you know, but I also try and associate with people that are very positive people.
Yeah.
You know, rather than, you know, very low vibrational people that just want to, you know, read crappy magazines and talk about people all the time. It doesn't interest me.
I will say I'm also there with you on the meditation side. And since I've been doing it every day for, I'd say, about 9 months, your ability to be able to quickly pick up on people's negativity and like their whole vibe, it just really does increase. And it's just, it just changes. Meditation changes everything.
It does change everything, and helps you to train your mind, and your mind creates your reality. And the thing is that a lot of the time sadness, you know, is evoked when people live in the past. You know, there's regret, there's sadness, you know, there's a whole heap of things. And when people jump to the future, I feel that this causes anxiety. So the only thing that you can do is train the mind to be in the present moment.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, but I guess, yeah, me personally, I find that it's difficult. Like, especially just like, I'm quite a loyal person, innit? So like, even though I know someone's negative, it's difficult for me to just drop them if I've known them for like 15, 20 years.
Yeah, you but I don't drop people, yeah. But I start becoming selfish.
Yeah.
You have to stop, because otherwise they disrupt your space.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's not about necessarily about being cutthroat and dropping them, but it's about limiting how much of your energy you give to them.
Exactly. Because the thing is...
Because if you're being helpful but they're not taking it on... And you're trying to show them a better way, and they're just continuously coming into your space and bringing you down. You just cannot allow it.
Yeah.
No, you can't. You have to be sort of, you know, thank you and good night. But you can still be compassionate about it and give people, you know. The other thing is that unsolicited advice never goes down well.
Definitely.
You know
not.
What I mean? We're Sagittarius.
Preaching.
You know, it's really important. So, you know, and the other thing is a sense of belonging. I think that's really important. Everyone wants to belong, and maybe that's why we're, you know, facing such crazy situations with people running over to different countries and deciding to, you know, plot bomb terrorist attacks and stuff like that, because they feel, you know, sort of, you know, so removed from society that they want to feel like they're a part of something. So let's all be part of, you know, one thing, which is like, you know, being decent human beings.
Here's the thing that's difficult with that. It's like, so say for instance, like if a youth wanted to join a gang, the reason why is because in his household or in his community or family, he doesn't feel accepted. He goes to school, or they go to school, they're not getting good grades because maybe there's issues at home, maybe a parent's missing, innit? Like, they want to belong to something.
I agree.
It's society's problem as well, isn't it?
Of course it is. It's all of our problems.
You know? Yeah, obviously, it's like, you got to take responsible for your actions, but there's reasons why people want to join gangs or ISIS or whatever.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So how can we solve this?
you know, like what we can solve it by trying to be better human beings ourselves and by creating a sense of belonging, because we're all connected as brothers and sisters, every single one of us. So instead of having your bitch face on all the time, maybe smile at someone. Don't worry if they don't smile back. Just recognize that they're there. You know, we're all connected.
Mm.
Anyway.
Okay, that was an intense one. Love it.
Where's the moon today? Okay, so let's talk about C. So yeah, I know that we've covered this with Kate, but the other thing is care, self-care. Self-care is really, really important. And the thing is that don't care was made to care. So, you know, it's really important that we take care of ourselves. It's not selfish. You know, if you're on a plane and even if you're sat next to your child, they say that if there are any issues, you have to put your oxygen mask on first. So, you know, there are a lot of people in the well-being industry that, you know, they're very dedicated to try and helping other people, yet their lives are shambles. Mm. If you can't take care of yourself, you cannot take care of anybody else. So you have to take care of yourself first and then everything else flows.
Mm.
Yeah.
D is for the big D, the dog, depression.
The big daddy.
So I know a lot of people that suffer with depression, and I don't know, like I said, you know, there are, I think it's something like 7.13 million prescriptions written in the UK every year for antidepressants. And I don't think that this is the solution. I know that, you know, people say, oh, you know, why is he depressed? What's he got to be depressed about? Well, the thing is that depression doesn't actually work like that. It's not a cause. It's actually, you know, an imbalance. And it's not, you know, it's not something that, you know, it's an illness, and people don't necessarily, you know, understand that. They just think sadness is different from depression. Depression is a medical issue. But I think that there are things that people can do to help themselves, which is the mental, spiritual, physical balance. Because if one of those is out of line, it's off key, then, you know, it could lead to the big D.
I feel like, man's just going to put his tin hat on 1 second now, So the reason why I feel like so many people prescribed antidepressants is because that's a business, bruv. Like, someone's making peas off of that. Like, all them drugs ain't given out for free, innit? Someone has to pay for it. Someone is paying to make it, innit? So I feel like there's a lot of things in our society that are created to push you further and further to depression, whether it's capitalism or you feeling like you're not good enough within yourself. Like, there's more things, more than ever, that's going to want to push you to that. They're separating us all, like, more, so we're easier to control. That's what I think, anyway. We're easier to control, we're easier to manipulate and to be made to feel inadequate in day-to-day situations so that they can push depression, antidepressants on you. That's what I think.
Well, anyway. It may well be, but the thing is that there's always going to be sort of, you know, greed and capitalism, you know, in modern society. But the thing is that this is all Cancerian energy, because Cancerian energy, you know, needs to feel secure or feels insecure, and we've all got a little bit of every sign in our charts. So what I'm saying is we have to take responsibility for our own care. If we want to just go to the doctors and pop pills for the rest of our lives, you know, then okay. But the other thing is that everything needs to be balanced. And if it's not balanced, we have to take responsibility for ourselves and care for the people in our community. You know, it's like we create our own communities. And my spiritual teacher used to say that was the solution to the issues that we're facing on the planet. We have to create communities where people actually give it.
And also, just adding to antidepressants and anything really to do with going to a doctor is... When the problem gets to that stage, you're just patching it up.
It's just patchwork.
It's nothing. Nothing ever that happens to you, and from my perspective, on the physical level, is manifest on the physical level. It always starts somewhere else. It always starts
emotional.
With another issue, something that you know you've been harboring on for a while but haven't dealt with, till eventually your mind, body and spirit makes you have to look at yourself in some way, and it comes out in the physical form.
I agree.
So I mean, I've had some things happen to me on the physical level, and I thought, just through talking to spiritual people and teachers, I kind of decided to look at the spiritual side of it, like what is the actual cause and effect of this particular thing that's come up at this point in my life.
Right.
And every single time, it has actually been something that stems from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I addressed that childhood issue that I wasn't even really aware of that I was still carrying, that I was able to actually deal with the physical aspect of what I was dealing with now.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so let's talk about E.
Lord of mercy.
All right, so E is for exercise.
I hate exercise.
Yeah, but
that's a strong word.
But the thing is that it's not just. I mean, obviously, you know, everyone wants to have, you know, nice bodies and everything else. But exercise is as important for the mind as it is for your physical.
It's very true.
And the thing is that our physical bodies have to last us a lifetime. How long are we going to be here for? Hopefully, 80, 90 years. Who knows?
God.
You know? What?
I don't want to get up to 80, 90, man.
Don't say that. You're putting it out to the universe.
Yeah, I know, but it's just too old for me.
I never wanted to, but now I do, because I'm just, that's more life.
I bet when you get to 89, you're going to want to.
Yeah, that's true.
There's more life experience. After that, you die, innit? You might as well live as long as you can. That's what I feel. Mm. You know what I'm
saying? But you have to start taking care of it now, and exercise is really important, because you know what? The thing is that if you spend too much time inside a car, on a bus, on a tube, on a train, you know, in an office, in front of a computer, you're not connecting with the Great Divine Mother. And the Great Divine Mother is the best nurturer on the planet. Mm-hmm. So exercise, yes, going outside. I don't really feel like, you know, killing yourself, like going for like 2-hour runs and all of that. Although both my sisters are obsessive runners. You know, me, it's yoga. All day long.
Yeah.
You know, you have to choose your own thing and knock on a few doors, but you have to exercise, because if you don't, you're going to end up, you know, everything is, it's not going to work.
It's
not balanced. So even if you go for a walk or, you know what I'm saying? You have to do something. You have to exercise, because you have to boost your serotonin levels, and a lack of serotonin causes sadness and depression.
Yeah.
And serotonin can only be boosted, you know, unless you want to pop pills all of your life and then wonder why you're having a heart attack at age 50. Do you know what I'm saying? It's really, really important exercise. So yeah, anything?
Yeah. Exercise is good.
And also exercise your demons. Alright. Let's talk about F.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Okay.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway.
F is for fake.
F is for fake. Now look, check it out, right? I feel that in order to take care of your well-being, you've got to avoid fake. Fake friends, fake food, fake news.
Oh, yeah, that's fake a good idea. I like that. That's great. I couldn't agree more, really.
I guess the tricky thing is like, especially with fake people, everyone's so like nice these days, isn't it? Like, no one wants to hurt no feelings. Like, everyone wants to sort of just get along, be civil. And from that, I feel
apart
like
apart from social media.
I don't know.
Sometimes I feel like, especially on social media, I feel like
people are being fake.
With fakery. Yeah, bruv. People won't say if they don't like something, bruv. If they're like, when someone in your social circle puts out something and you think it's trash, they'll be like, yeah.
But
what about the
internet warriors that are constantly hounding
them? The keyboard warriors. Yes, but why are they doing it?
At least they're more honest.
No, but they're not,
you know,
though.
What I'm saying?
Because would they say it to someone's face?
No, that's different.
That's
and the other thing is it's fakeness. That's what I'm saying. It's almost like, you know,
it's
jealousy, but it's also serious. People who are happy, like my godson is 10 years old and he's been bullied at school.
Oh.
And I said to his mum, I said, please give me the email address of the headmaster, because I'm not going to just sit by and let this go on. They're calling him all sorts of names, calling him, you know, I don't even want to talk about it, but I'm just saying, it's like, you know, Pete, I said to him, I had a chat with him and I said, don't worry about this, because let me tell you one thing, in 15 years these people are going to be messaging you on Facebook or on social media and they're going to be saying to you, hey dude, I was in school with you, let's hook up and have a coffee. I said, because you know what, because this happened to me. You know what I mean? That's why I'm not on there anymore.
I feel like people only bully because they're being bullied. Do you know what I'm saying?
Or because, but I said to my godson, I said, the thing is that people do this and they act in those ways because they're desperately unhappy.
Yeah, exactly.
So
and that's another thing with the fakery thing, isn't it? So say with a fake brethren, they might say, you tell your friend an idea, like, oh, I want to do this, and they'll be like, nah, you shouldn't do that. They might only be saying that because they're scared, they're insecure within themselves, that you're going to somehow surpass them in this little hierarchy that we live in.
Yeah.
Like, so that's fake as well. But the thing is, how can you tell? It's difficult to tell.
Well, it's
like, what's the intention?
But that's fear, and that's all to do with Scorpio stuff. Scorpio gone wrong. We'll list a few traits, Dee.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not Scorpio gone wrong over here. My mood is great, I'll have you know. No, Scorpio gone wrong, fear, jealousy, possessiveness, envy, poison, you know.
Obsession.
Yeah.
Just like it's serious. And resentment. Traits they all share with their opposite sign, Taurus. But the thing is that's where it's all coming from. So as human beings, we used to be super intuitive. You know, you can read someone's motivation. You can read someone's motivation, and you can just say, you know what, it's not their fault. You can have compassion, yeah, which is not the same as pity, because compassion comes with a certain level of non-attachment. So it's like you can have compassion for them, but don't tolerate it. Do you know what I mean? You know, we deal with it quite a lot, don't we, Nai-Nai?
Yes, we do.
We deal with it quite a lot, and I'd say I'm tolerant for, I don't know, quite an amount of time.
Everyone has a breaking point.
But everyone has a breaking point, and then all of it...
level's gone down, bro. I can't deal with it
but
no
it's,
more.
But, you ha- but it's important to disassociate yourself from it, not take it personally, have compassion,
yeah,
but move
compassion
on.
Yeah, the compassion is... Yeah, that's the key. You just
move
gotta,
on.
You know.
Anyway, on that point... G is for gratitude. All right, so
this is a difficult one to get into. To incorporate.
It is really difficult, but the thing is that it's so important that we raise the planet's vibration. And if we raise the planet's vibration by raising our own vibration and cultivating gratitude, we will change the game. Everywhere in the whole world, there's angels and demons. Right? So we can either walk with the demons or we can walk with the angels. And the angels, we magnet. So anything that you do, yeah, if you keep doing it, you get better and better. And if you keep practicing, it gets stronger and stronger.
Like a muscle.
So everything is it gets stronger with practice, right? So if you say, today I'm grateful to be alive, actually. I'm grateful that the sun is shining, and I'm grateful that I threw my mat out this morning, did some yoga, and felt better than I did yesterday. And what are you grateful for today, Mr. P?
Life. I'm happy to wake up another day and that. Grateful for my missus. Looking forward to seeing her later. And,
D?
My rising Capricorn is grateful for all the money coming my way. My moon in Scorpio is super grateful for all my beautiful friends and family that I have around me. And my Sagittarius is grateful for the fact that I've got two book trips coming up.
No, your go.
I am grateful for my mother.
Oh.
Yeah, I love my mum. She's incredible. The person I am most grateful for in my life.
That's amazing.
That's beautiful.
Moon in Cancer.
Oh.
He has got a good mother, though. I mean, she spoils him a lot.
Yeah, so much.
He keeps on saying, she's not helping prepare me for the world.
Alrighty.
I'm grateful for nourishment as well. That stuff's great.
So, yeah, so H is for happiness. Everybody wants to be happy, but it's really important that we wish happiness for other people as well. You know what I'm saying? Because some people think that the more happiness we have, or the more happiness someone else has, somehow if they're happy, they're taking something away from us. So it's really, really important to celebrate other people's happiness as well.
For sure.
You know what I mean? I'm not gonna go on and on and on about that one, but happiness is really important for your well-being. You can make a conscious decision to be happy.
I think when you get to a place where you are so happy with where you are that you can see somebody else doing something and you are genuinely happy for them.
Exactly.
Like when you sent me that stuff and I heard it, like the amount of happiness that I felt, I was just like calling you and texting you like this is like epic. Do you know what I mean? When you call me up, sorry, you and you, Anton, Caroline, when you call me up and you tell me about like, oh my god, this just happened, like I genuinely feel the happiness. There isn't an ounce of like jealousy or just, you know, oh, you're doing well, I'm not doing well. When you get to that place, it's just such a beautiful thing. And then I know it's cliche, but then so much good things start to come your way.
It's true, though.
Yeah,
it's true.
Sure.
So it's almost like, you know, I don't know. It's
love seeing my friends do well.
I do.
Nothing brings me more joy.
But especially if they've, you know, I mean, the thing is that you shouldn't be judgmental, but especially if they deserve it.
Yeah.
You know, like when my book, I went to the monastery, Sami Ling, and all the people that live there, the monks and the nuns, they walk past and they're like, oh, congratulations on your book. That's The Signs, by the way, shameless plug. You know, it's doing so well.
Amazon, get it now.
Waterstones, Urban Outfitters. Did you know it was Urban Outfitters' best-selling book?
Is it?
Yeah.
Mad.
Isn't that crazy? Like, sick. The Urban Outfitters, it's like they're one of the coolest stores. It's their best-selling book. Anyway, I suffered for that book, just so you know.
I know, I was there.
So anyway, what I'm saying is that when people say to you, you know what, you deserve it. It's the most amazing feeling in the world. So I think, yeah, it's really important. So the big I is for intuition.
Ooh, intuition.
Yeah, that good stuff.
I really love it as well. And I feel like intuition is so, so important, and everybody has it. It's just that sometimes it's really tightly wrapped in logic.
Mm.
You know, and when, you know, years ago, when we all actually, you know, didn't live in high-rise flats and, you know, have no sort of feet on the ground whatsoever, I think we knew when there was going to be sort of a period where there wasn't enough food. We knew what the weather was going to be like.
Mm.
You know, we knew. And I feel like the thing that excites me most is that this shifting consciousness that started bubbling in 2012, it means that we're all sort of cultivating and nurturing our own sense of intuition. And my number one rule is never, ever surrender your intuition to anyone or anything external. You've got to learn to trust your gut.
I'm telling you, man, I've learned this so many times. Every time I've gone against my gut, it's just been... I was just like, why? You knew.
Exactly.
But why? What do you mean you don't know?
Because you're a rebel.
I know.
It's not smart to rebel against your own intuition. I mean, we all do it.
Because sometimes you just think, no, but maybe it'll be different, you know? I've learned, but maybe... And it never, ever is.
It never, ever is.
Just follow your intuition.
That rug gets pulled, you smack your face on the floor, and you get up and
still
want
more.
Just
another L, that's lesson, not loss. What was you
going to
say?
I don't know. I feel like my intuition, although more often than not it's on point, but sometimes I just like, I don't know, it makes me kind of indecisive in that, because I'm just like, sometimes I don't really know how I feel about something, you know. I've got to wait a little bit. I've got to process the information, and then normally my intuition will like let me know, hopefully.
Yeah. I have to say that 24-hour rule, when something happens, give it 24 hours. Do not react. Yeah. Do not respond. See how you feel then.
Yeah, exactly.
Helps.
You know what the thing is, yeah? All right, when you're more emotionally charged, maybe your intuition's going to be more on point. But sometimes you shouldn't make decisions based off your emotion.
Of course, no.
You know?
Basing decision, if you base your, emotion is energy and action, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like intuition can only ever really kick in, yeah, when you're still centered, calm and steady.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why you've got to train the brain to be able to stay in one place and not be discursive, jumping all around the place.
Mm.
So it's like your intuition is, it doesn't speak as I'm speaking now, it's monotone and subtle.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really, subtle. Really. So when I'm... Because, you know, so doing the work that I do, sometimes, you know, we tread where angels fear to tread.
Mm.
And some of the people I work with, you know, the stuff that I say is like, you know.
Yeah.
But I always check with my intuition. I call it going up the stairs. Should I continue? And now it's telling me, wind it up, move it on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Joy. Have you seen Inside Out? Who's seen Inside Out? Or is it, what's it called, Inside Out? Yeah.
Inside Out.
Oh my goodness me.
Yeah,
the Pixar movie.
Yeah, with the emotions that are animated. And
Oh, it's so good.
I have to watch that.
Oh, it's amazing. It's so clever. And so it's given little people to all the emotions that we feel.
I've seen memes of it.
So oh, it's fantastic. I highly recommend it. It's amazing.
Well, I'm about to watch that one together then.
And also there's the film, the actual film, Joy. That's amazing. It's a true story. It's about someone, a woman who fought to build her business. And as a woman in business, I can totally relate to that. So I recommend that as a film.
Mm.
Anyway, so joy, cultivate your own joy. Be joyful.
I mean, joy is one of those ones, like, when you're on the wave of joy, it's, like, really good, you know, 2-3 hours of great joy. But then...
She's usually on a dance floor.
You know? I mean, maybe a night, maybe I'm being tight 2-3 hours, maybe a couple of days of great joy, but you can never, like, the thing that annoys me about joy is that I can never maintain it.
Bridging, that's the thing that always gets me. Whenever I'm like, happy,
oh,
yeah,
come on.
When a few good things happen, I'm like, yo, yo, how long is this going to last, bro? When's the is going to commence again? Like,
okay, but that's
saying?
Pisces, the fear comes in. But do you know what it is?
I feel like it's just being realistic. I'm
no,
like,
but do you know what?
Is but you, be but, the
but,
corner,
but,
like.
But that, but then you're cultivating to come around the corner. Can I just say one thing?
I don't know, man.
That's
going to
be a lot of bleeping.
There's going to be so much bleeping. Anton!
I can't think of a cleaner word for that.
Can someone, like, you know, ask DuckDuckGo for a better word than
messery.
The messery. It doesn't have the same punch to it.
What about the shagite?
The Shay guy.
Shay guy? What's that?
Shite. It's backslang. Did you not speak backslang in school?
No.
Oh, it was a must. You go to boarding school. You need to learn that,
that
Shay guy.
Backslang. I thought that was all like give a
no,
give
our
a
school
gay
it was
or whatever.
Just
like.
No, it's shite. It's Shay guy. Kegaregalegime. Anyway.
Okay. Joy.
So, joy.
Caroline, how do we maintain joy for more than 2 days?
Can I just say one thing? We can't maintain anything. You know why? Because everything in existence is impermanent.
Oh, man.
It's just like, it's so annoying, isn't it?
But it
Buddhism 101.
but it's the truth. You know, everything is impermanent. So the thing is that what they teach you in real spiritual practice is that you cannot avert the suffering, you cannot chase the pleasure. So the best thing is to remain equanimous, which means this is joyful, this is amazing, this is sad, this is hot, you know, Shay guide. Anyway, the whole point is everything is impermanent. The only thing is that our minds don't die when we die. They continue to create future realities. Mm-hmm. So it's not to take it all too seriously. Sincerely, yes. Yeah. Sincerely, no. Nunca.
Nunca. K.
Kindness.
Special kindness. Special K.
Special K.
Special
kindness.
K.
All right, kindness.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about kindness.
Everyone's struggling. What's wrong with you, like, bruv?
I'm just thinking, which way do I want to go here? My brain is like...
Just don't be mean.
No, I mean...
That's all.
I'm
don't be mean.
I'm mean unintentionally, but I'm definitely kind as well.
I think you're very kind.
I'm very
kind. You're just blunt.
Blunt. Me, yeah, exactly.
James, blunt.
No, but the thing is that I think... I was thinking about this morning. So people are kind, and people say it quite a lot. They say, oh, I'm too kind. There is no such thing as being too kind, because if you're a kind person... there's a full stop, punto, at the end of it. You don't give to receive, because if you give to receive, then that's actually a transaction.
Yeah.
And then if you don't get anything back, you feel resentful.
I don't know, man. I feel like for me, like, over the years, I've been the type of person that gives a lot without wanting anything in return. And I consider that kind, yeah. But
yeah.
The thing, I think people try to mug it. Some people will definitely try to mug it, bruv. If they're used to you being a certain way, and then one day when you're like, well, this is my limit, they're like, but, you know, all the other times it was cool, bruv. Why not now? Do you know what I'm saying?
But,
I feel like
yeah.
definitely try to push it as far as it will go. So I feel like you've got to be kind to yourself first.
100%, but you're Pisces.
Yeah.
So, you know, the biggest lesson for Pisces to learn, we all have life lessons, boundaries.
Yeah, for sure.
So you have to assert your boundaries without flipping to your moon, and your moon is in Aries,
yeah.
Which would get rather cross.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you see? So it's almost like... and also giving yourself space before you actually agree to something. Mm. So it's like, if I don't want to do something, you know, now that I don't have to, you know, pay for school fees for my kid anymore, if I don't want to do something, I'm not going to do it. It doesn't matter how... And when you say no to people, they're like, oh, well, offer her more money. It's like, no, you're not hearing me. I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I've definitely learned that.
Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, I don't want to do it. It's not... It doesn't float my boat. I'm really sorry.
Mm. I think one of the measures of whether you're truly kind is if you would do something for a stranger.
For someone who can never do anything
exactly.
for you.
Just like the other day, I was at the bus stop and there was this old guy there, and I could just, like, my energy could just see, like, that he just wanted to have a chat. And I was, like, wanting to be in my music, my headphones, and he asked me something, and then I just took the headphones off, and I was like, I know that he just wants to have a chat, so we're just going to have a chat. So I opened up my energy, we had a little chat, and it just made him so happy.
I'm the worst for that. I literally, bruv, I'll dodge people on the road if I see them. I don't want to talk to them, bruv. I'm the worst. I'm like,
yeah, but you have
I don't
to,
feel like it today.
Yeah, but you have to protect, I think the main thing, you have to protect your energy and know when to say no.
Yeah. But listen, I'm really good, I don't suffer from that at all, because I've got Russian bleep face, so nobody ever really feels like they can just come and ask me, because my energy is quite
closed,
which is helpful in many ways.
You know, that's where we're different, yeah, because I feel like I've got quite an open
you
energy
do.
Like strangers always want to talk to me, bruv.
Yeah.
Like, people always ask me, oh, how do I get to so and so, like, it's always me, bruv.
But even you're open,
I feel like I've just got that, like, if someone looks at me, even if they're like just grinning a little bit, I'll just smile back, like, as automatically. I'm like, yeah, you're right, yeah.
But
so
even
I feel like, I always get people just like, you know what I'm saying, wanting to.
But even with people that you know, your energy's super open, and that's where you get upset.
Yeah.
With me, even people that know me, you guys, I mean, you guys could probably feel comfortable coming to ask me for anything.
Yeah.
There are other people that I wouldn't be the first person that they'd pick up the phone and be like, yo, D, can you sort this out for me? Because the energy's quite closed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think, okay, so Al, I think that this is one of the most important things. It's laughter.
We do a lot of this.
You have to laugh, and I think that they're one of the most, you know what, I think the most difficult people in the world are the ones that take themselves too seriously.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't mean to, but I've
those.
Sorry. That was.
Nah, I don't think that's true.
Nah, man, people would have.
Some of the
Virgos.
Funniest people I know, they're Virgos, bro. 100%.
They would definitely be learning a lot from Leo, their next door neighbour.
These are late Virgos, bro. The people I'm talking about, they're born after September the 15th.
Well,
we can
get me their date of birth. I'll look it
now. Yeah,
we'll look it
up.
I bet you £50 right now, and I will take your money.
They crack me up the most.
Virgos. We all need Virgos.
I actually think Leo's taking themselves way more serious.
Who?
Leo's.
No.
Like
no. It's pride with Leo.
Yeah, it's the pride.
If as long as they've got a sense of humour, Leo is great. But if you get like a really like El Pavo Real, the peacock.
The peacock.
You know, we all know the peacock. Yeah,
wow,
me too.
Wonderful bird.
The peacock.
Look at him defending his opposite sign. I like that.
But his rising sign.
No, he was defending Virgo.
Virgo.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Okay, who do you know? Who do you know that you needed to defend? Then that was a person. That was personal.
Yeah, that was personal.
My bridges and my missus and that, like.
Oh.
It's not,
we love Anton's missus.
We love Anton's missus. We really love you. And we know.
I love Beyonce, and she's a Virgo.
You know what? Though?
She's got lots of Leo in her chart, though.
I don't know. The Virgos definitely—they make me laugh the most, bruv. Like Darren, he cracks me up all the time. Or he has from the first day I met him. He just made me laugh. You know, anyone's there.
Got
like,
the jokes.
I'm grateful to Virgo because Virgo is the founder of the Soho House.
You're not changing
group.
Teams now, yeah.
And no, Soho House being associated with them 12 years ago has probably changed my whole life.
Yeah, but you've
got
to be quite serious to get
Dave Chappelle's
those
a Virgo
kind of
as well.
Things
hilarious.
Yes, I can be serious. I've got the moon in Capricorn.
I know you can be serious.
Okie dokie. Right.
Okay.
Moving on.
Oh.
Thank you for listening, everybody. We're super grateful. Okay, thanks for having us, guys. Tune in to episode 2. Bye!
Thank you for listening to the Dynamic Astrology Podcast. Please follow us on Instagram at @DACrackTheCode and Twitter at @DACrackTheCode. Like us on Facebook, visit our website www.dynamicastrology.com. Buy Caroline's debut book, The Signs, and also look out for Your Stars in September, published by HarperCollins.